Today on a soul-torching episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, misery loves company, such as the case for a young child being brought up in an abusive household. As he grows older, he starts to notice things happening in and around the house that cannot be explained as anything other than paranormal. Could these dark forces that linger in his family be the true source of such deplorable behavior? Could something evil have taken over the family and be coming for his soul next? We ask the question and dig much deeper on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. New episodes for you all throughout the week. Check that out. And of course, we got the extras for you as well. And bonus episodes, EPP bonus episodes, meaning extra podcast person. That's what EPP stands for. Sign up to get all those, including all of our episodes. If you like the show, you like binging on it and you don't want any ads, because I know that gets to be a bit much, but you know, that's what keeps the show on the air as well. But if you want to support the show in another way, become an extra podcast person. And for that, you'll get no ads. And all of our episodes, the archive, everything's there for you. The EPP bonus episodes, you do that at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
So you know that fake cat that I bought you right over there?
Yeah, Harper brought me for Father's Day a cat. Like a stuffed cat, but it purrs. Yeah. What about the cat?
It's haunted.
Why is it haunted?
It came from a very not great home. A toddler threw it across the room, and then it went down the staircase. I just found out. I'm sorry.
You didn't just buy it through Amazon?
No, I bought it off of Etsy.
So that's like a haunted cat?
Yes.
Seriously?
No.
Okay. I never know with you. I never know what you're going to get. Okay, so it's a normal cat toy type thing.
Yes. Purrs.
Okay. No demons involved.
No demonic toddler.
Okay, please do not buy possessed dolls or cat toys or anything like that.
That's the first thing I'm searching up right now.
No, you're not. You're not going to do that. No.
There's a great deal for five.
We don't want that in our house.
For like 89 cents for like five haunted dolls.
No, we're not.
That's a really good deal.
No, we're not getting haunted dolls.
Yes,
honey.
We are. Happy Father's Day. You're going to be, something is going to be hovering over you when you go to sleep at night.
This is a monster that you created.
I'm not a monster. I'm just a great person. Helping society.
This is the child that used to come on the show going, there's a haunted steakhouse. Remember the haunted steakhouse story? Yeah. What did that story go?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like, it was the story of the steakhouse where the cows were haunting the steakhouse that had been killed for the steaks. And
like every time you took a bite, you could hear the cows like moo, I believe.
In the background, yeah.
Time to buy some haunted dolls.
Well, I've kind of created this, haven't I? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get our first one. It said that if you are of the light, the darkness knows. The darkness will follow you from one life to the next. For many years, I succumbed to the misfortunes that plagued me through my entire life. Into a deep depression as a young child, having been raised in a violent home life. As I grew, so did my appetite for destructive behaviors and self-sabotage. It was during this time others began to see terrifying truths about me. They said my eyes were like black marbles. I suffered many blackouts and fainting spells as a child, but I could also predict future events. For instance, I once stated that someone would fall off a springboard at a swim club I frequented. Days later, my boyfriend did fall off the high dive and land on the cement below. I was devastated, frightened by the news. I was 12 at the time. As the years passed, I found myself in a world of substance abuse, violent tendencies. This led to many failed suicide attempts. I recall the first time at age 16, I had swallowed so many pills I should have died and never returned to the land of the living. In my out-of-body experience, I walk around the hallways of the hotel, conversing with both the dead and the living. We're walking outside. I could hear my name being called, but did not see the person. The world was black and white, no color. The manager came outside and took me back into the room where my body laid. As I grew older, I began to see strange things occur. I was now able to see the dark forces lurking around me and others. Many times it was formless, just a mass of black glittering gelatin moving along like an octopus. I noticed it and it noticed me, but never did it ever attack me. It retreated from me, or its intended victim. I now understand why. I was meant to be a light force in this world, bringing only white magic and banishing dark entities from others. My son inherited this gift, and he too was haunted by dark forces in his waking life and dream life, but I understand that these dark forces were assigned to me, and whose only purpose was to hide my truth. They even made my own parents abuse me physically and mentally. It was these cruelties that led me to who I really am. If I told you the things I could do just by speaking in words, it happens. I've asked my enemies to be known to me by way of nosebleeds. I've commanded winter storms that only existed in surrounding areas of my home. And I got to say this, I think this person has submitted the story more than once. Did we have this one on our show, you and me?
Yeah, the one where she controls weather?
Yes. Okay, so we've talked about this one before.
You might as well just continue on.
That's almost the end of the story. So we'll wrap that up there. But that's what happens sometimes. People send the stories in three or four times and they reword them slightly and then I don't catch it. But
please,
yeah,
don't do that.
It's kind of, yeah, the story of controlling weather. Again, I think our verdict on that one the other day was, seek help.
Seek help?
Yeah, because there's something,
kind of mentally wrong there, if you think
I would lean more towards that than anything else. I don't lean towards paranormal on that, but you know, people go through things, people think things, people feel things. But I do not think that this is necessarily something that's paranormal. I think there's something that should be addressed, and I hope that you can do that and find that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to a caller here on the program. Let's take this one right here. Of course, if you want to call in anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's 855-853-4802. Let's go to this one. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony and the gang. This is now like the third time that I've tried to record this and it keeps cutting me off. So I'm just going to do this really quickly now. Hi. By the way, I'm from Jersey. I've been listening to you guys for about 2-3 weeks now. Y'all have me hooked, like seriously hooked on your show. I have a lot of stories to tell, but I'm going to share this one that just keeps coming up because every time that I listen to your stories, I think maybe y'all can help me understand and maybe even heal. I know that sounds so wild, but I haven't really had the same vulnerability to my sensitivity since this last encounter of mine. So about 6 years ago, my family and I were on like our last summer trip, and we had this thing, me and my brothers and sister, and even sometimes my mom, to just go on ghost tours wherever we were going, wherever we were visiting, because we loved it. Like, we always had very sensitive people in the house, in the family, and we found peace in learning about folks and history and understanding spaces and truly gaining respect for spaces in that way, right? So this summer, one of our last stops on the way home was Savannah, Georgia. And so my brother decided, I'm going to go on a ghost tour. Who wants to come with me? I was the only one that night who was like, I'm going to go. So me and my brother, mind you, we're like super horror junkies and super ghost junkies and all the things that you could possibly imagine. So we're all about this, right? In a very respectful way. In that, right, like we wanted to go and just kind of learn about, you know, what is this specifically plantation home doing being a ghost tour? Why is a plantation house out into the open in Savannah, Georgia for a ghost tour? Like, what is so big about this history? So we go and we learned about the history of this house. This house was owned by a slave owner who not only took advantage of black people, but of his own people. So I'm going to just keep, as the story goes on, I'm going to refer to him as the White Devil. So the White Devil did a lot of shit to the women who were in his home, one of which was related to him, and the others were all working for him. The people, the slaves who lived within his home and resided in his home, are believed to have performed their own spiritual ceremonies, I guess you could say, in the basement as a cleansing for themselves and also wishing bad upon this man. This man was really fucked up and also had an affair and was intimate with his niece. This niece took her own life. All this to say, these are all things that we were learning as we're in the ghost tour. So eventually we reached the basement and we're there. And I haven't really talked about this. So my brother and I are just listening to the ghost tour. We're all the way in the back. We're all the way in the way, 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 way back. And my brother likes to fuck around with me a lot. Okay. He likes to spook people and just like be funny sometimes. And just like, you know, just be who he is. It's a fun thing sometimes, but this time around, I didn't like it. I basically start hearing my brother saying mad disrespectful things to me, kind of like teasing me and taunting me. And I thought he was just trying to push my buttons because of, you know, the conversation that the tour guide was having with us about the history of the home. And I thought it was actually really insensitive, right? So like in this moment, I'm hearing all these things and I'm thinking all these things. I'm hearing him and it's like he's literally on my right side and I'm hearing it on my right side. And so I turn around and I'm like, hey, yo, like cut your shit. Like stop it. It's not funny. So he looks at me, kind of like cringes his face and he looks back at the tour guide. Completely dismisses what I tell him to stop doing. And he continues to do it. He's teasing me. He's calling me a see you next Tuesday. He's saying all these awful things to me, making me feel horrible about myself. I don't know in the moment why, what's going on. As I go to turn around to my brother, I look at him and I say, hey, yo, what the fuck is good with you? Stop it. In that moment, the tour guide interrupts us, asks us what's going on. I tell them I need to go. I need to get out of the basement because I'm not feeling very well. Mind you, as this is happening, I am feeling this overwhelming pressure coming upon my body and my head and this horrible feeling of dread and anger. Like I couldn't control my anger. So my brother, fast forward, walks me out of the basement and I swear it was like I stepped out into the fresh air and I kid you not, it was like a coin fucking dropped and I felt completely fine. I was tired, but I felt fine. Like, I felt like something had just whooshed out of my body. I don't even know. Like, it was like the emotions left my body in the instant, in that moment. So I took a breath. I didn't really say much. I was kind of still pissed at my brother. I let it go. I just, like, in that moment, assumed it was a joke, whatever. I didn't go to really talk about how I was feeling. So he asked me if I was good. I'm like, let's just take a second, man. So we took, like, maybe 10 minutes, and then we decided we were going to continue the tour on our own because the tour guide had already finished but let folks, you know, wander for an extra few. So we decided we were going to finish the tour ourselves and go into the cottage house that was in the back. So we decide to do what we usually do, which is just kind of, you know, take a feel for the space and embrace the space and just try to see if, you know, we could learn about the history just by being there and feeling the space. Again, it was like clockwork. We walk into this room. And it's upstairs. It's like the top right. It was like this old cottage house. It wasn't too tall, but it had a second floor. And the second floor had its, like, I guess it was like a bathroom. And then on the far left, right off the stairs, was a bedroom. It was completely empty. My brother says, listen, I just want to take a minute. Like, he basically spoke to the space or whoever could have been there in the time. Let them know, you know, that we were there. We were, you know, good with good intention. We were just getting to the space and we would be out, you know, soon. And we hope that they could respect that and be well. And if they needed us to leave, let us know. So we were silent for maybe 2 minutes. And the 2 minutes didn't even pass because maybe 40, 30 seconds into our silence, my brother says, I don't like this. I don't like this. We got to get out. We got to get out. We have something's happening. We have to get out. And I swear in that moment, I felt the same feelings again. Right before he said anything, I was feeling it. And at the same time, I thought I heard something. I'm like, I hear something, but this time no one was talking to me. I heard someone and I thought there was like a little girl because there had been a girl on the tour and I thought maybe she was like up there and I heard something. I don't know what it was. I thought just like maybe, you know, I thought I heard something, someone talking. So I heard, right, someone talking and Joaquin says, my brother says this at the same time. And I'm like, okay, you're good. And I felt fine, but I felt so. It was really weird. I felt like a limbo. And we go down the stairs, mind you, like, we're taking our time down the stairs. Well, I am. My brother is out of there. I have to take my time down the stairs because I feel like I'm literally losing the energy out of me. I get out of the cottage and all of a sudden I swear like the life is back inside of me. Fast forward, we leave that tour. 2 hours pass. We did not speak of anything that had happened. The following day, we spoke about what happened. I did not share with you that I was recording our entire time inside of the cottage. And also, I forgot to mention that this plantation owner's niece took her life in this cottage. When I went back with my brother the following day to listen to what we had experienced in that cottage house, I, with a hand on my heart, tell you, 2 seconds before my brother in the audio, you hear him say, "Love, this is not good. We gotta leave. There's something wrong in here." You hear this horrible gurgling, like choking sound. And it was so scary. And it makes me so sad. And it was so sad because this girl, she was a teenager. She was 15, 16, who took her own life back then. She had hung herself in that room, in that same exact room. I have never spoken about that day after the fact, unless it was with my brother. I have never been able to describe truly or relive, thank God, the feeling that I felt that night in the basement. And the worst part is that my brother is not the person who was saying those things to me. I believe him. He swore to me that he would never say those things to me. He thought I was messing with him. He thought I was crazy when I told him. And then we listened to that audio on my phone. And I have the phone somewhere. I can definitely send it in to you guys. It's probably in a storage space somewhere. But the phone still exists with that audio recording of the young girl. And I know what I heard. And he knows what he heard. And we do not talk about it. And I will never go on a ghost tour again. I have yet to heal from the feeling, that horrible feeling of dread that I felt in that basement, of anger, of complete just hate. And I don't know what it was. I believe that the people who lived in that home suffered. But it's definitely changed my perspective on the quote-unquote entertainment of paranormal. I never looked at it in that way until I really saw myself in that space, and I thought, I must be doing something wrong here because I feel like someone's trying to harm me in this space. So I don't know what y'all have to say about all this. I know it was a long story. I don't even know if you guys like listen to this and you match up both audios, but what does someone do when they feel that? Like, have y'all felt that? Is there any healing behind that? This is a really special, confidential story just because of how personal it really feels to this day. But yeah, I guess, like, what does someone do when they can't get that bad juju out of their heart? Like, after the fact, mind you, it's been 5-6 years. I will never. Ever go back on a tour. Never. I won't. I can't do it. I won't. And mind you, I've always been sensitive my whole life to all the energies around me. And the way that I pick up on things now is just different. I don't know if I've skewed my own reality, but what do you guys think? Like, is there life after ghost trauma? Like, that sounds so ridiculous, but like, what does one do? What do I do with that?
It's a fair question to ask. And honestly, I think, you know, once you have in a situation like that, the only thing you can do, honestly, is try and pick yourself up mentally and emotionally out of the dark place that it kind of pushed you into. Because there'll be things in life, there'll be people in life that will try and take you there, that will pull you there. And that'll happen, you know, just with the living. But when the dead are doing it, it can be even more scary and weird because you know why it's coming or how it's coming or how you got there. But with anything that pulls you down, it takes you finding the strength to find positivity, find the light. And really, negativity, dark things do not, they don't grow well in that sort of atmosphere. It's almost like soil, if you will. If you have a garden and, you know, you feed it Miracle-Grow, you feed it plant food, all that, it'll grow great. But in this case, when it's negative stuff, if you just keep feeding into the negativity and wondering about it and deep digging deeper into it, that is that miracle growth for that negativity. What you need to essentially do is do the opposite. So be like pouring a weed killer essentially on the garden. And that weed killer is going to be your positivity and you're finding good things and staying in a good place. And it takes, it's difficult sometimes because sometimes you'll feel like it's just coming after you left and right. Negative, 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 negative. Why are you here? Why are you there? But eventually you kind of claw yourself out of that. So that'd be my best advice for a situation of that nature.
Honestly, my main question is, like, when you die, do you have to, like, constantly relive the way you die?
I think that'd be horrible. I don't believe that you do. I think that that's like a residual type thing. I think sometimes when it repeats like that, it's almost if it's super negative, it's almost there. Something's doing it to influence the living in some way, shape, or form, but I don't think it's like actually the soul of the person that suffered in some sort of horrible way, repeating it over and over, especially if they're just an innocent person that went through something horrible.
Yeah.
So Now, try and find positivity. Positivity wins out. Love wins out above all in any sort of situation. So try not to succumb to that. Try not to dwell into that. And you'll find peace. It takes effort. It takes work. But you can get there. Hi.
This is Erin in Northwest Arkansas, and I thought I would call in to share a workplace experience. So about 11 and a half years ago, I started working at the home office of one of the world's largest retailers. Now, looking at the building, you would not ever expect it to be a corporate office for a multi-billion dollar company. It originally started out as a warehouse building that housed all the goods for the local stores. And over time, as the warehouse expanded and business grew, they converted the space into office spaces for the company. And the way that the warehouses kind of grew, they ended up surrounding a cemetery that is in the center of the town. And the area that I used to work at actually shared a wall with the local cemetery. And the owners who originally owned that company were buried in that cemetery, just as a fun fact. So one day, it was a coworker's birthday, and our department culture was to celebrate birthdays really big. We would decorate people's desks, we would have food days, and just really celebrate them. And this particular coworker, he didn't like a lot of attention, and he didn't want to make a big deal for his birthday. So when we found out that it was his birthday, we waited until he snuck away to a meeting, and the rest of us who shared a pod seating area with him decided that we were going to throw something together as quick as we could. So one of my coworkers and I, we took a happy birthday banner, the kind that had individual letters with brads that kind of connected them so you can move them a little bit. And we stood up on top of our desk, and we took paper clips, and we hooked the happy birthday sign into the ceiling grid so it would hang right over a ceiling and you can see it from a distance. Well, as soon as we got it up in the grid, we jumped down and we started wrapping his desk in streamers. And once we got done with the streamers, we went to gather up all the supplies that we had to put them away, and we noticed that sitting on the desk right behind us, where we had been working the whole time, was the happy birthday sign. And it was wadded in a ball on the desk. And I looked at my coworker, and I asked him, I was like, did you see that fall or come down? And he confirmed, he's like, no, man, we were here the whole time. I don't know how that happened. And you would think that if it fell down, at least one side would come down and it would hit us, or both would come down. And because we were standing under it the whole time. And to this day, neither one of us can figure out how that sign ended up wadded up on the desk behind us after we hung it. So that's my quick little workplace ghost story. I hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to sending in many more in the future. Thanks.
I've always wondered about this place because this is in our area, too. I know exactly what she's talking about, Walmart. And it's the home office is it will eventually be decommissioned because they're building a whole new campus. It's been kind of held up by COVID. But it's for the enormous company that it is, an Amazon sized company. It's not what you expect when you see the building. It's like, that's the headquarters. But it is. And there's a giant cemetery right next to it. And I have to wonder a little bit, though, too, when you build a building like that and there's a road right in front of it and there's all this other, a lot of times when that sort of stuff happens, there's construction that does go on above graves. And I'm not saying that it has happened there. I don't know. But there's the Culinary Institute of Walmart, which is right next to the graveyard.
It's also filled with human meat.
There's no
human. That's where they get the meat from, the culinary.
I enjoy the, I think Walmart actually does a pretty good job at making generic brands compared to other generic brands. I like their generic brands. I think they're actually better than sometimes the main brands. And this is where they develop them, is in that building right there, right next to the main office of the cemetery, is like literally the backyard. Of course, it's because there's, you know, fingers and stuff in the chicken wings. But no, I'm kidding. But it's an interesting place. I've never heard any ghost stories of that location until today.
Yeah. Now, honestly, this either could be a good thing or a bad thing, because I'm like, in the story, it said that the coworker didn't necessarily want anything big for the birthday.
Yeah.
So it's either like following what the coworker wanted, or it's just like trying to mess things up.
It's interesting. What I really think they should do is dig up the body of Sam Walton and maybe put him in like the museum up in Bentonville, the original Walmart Five and Dime.
Yeah.
Kind of pose him up there mummified style and put the Sam's Club hat on him. And then you can press a button and then he kind of gets animated and he moves around and his bones move. Like, welcome to Walmart, or welcome to Sam's Club. And he tells stories, and it's like this ghostly, you know, bony figure. I think that'd be really exciting.
That'd be horrible.
Bring a lot of people into the museum. It'd be more exciting because the museum's kind of blah right now. I think if you dig up Sam Walton and put him in the museum, you got something going on.
That'd be horrible.
But I actually did not know that they were buried.
I thought you were going to say, like, I just put him in the coworker's chair for his birthday.
Yeah, well, there's his office that's in the museum. Well, they've like taken his office from where it was, and they recreated it and put it all in order of how it was. But yeah, there's another place they put him in the chair, and then you press a button, and he, you know, it's almost like those shooting gallery things when you're a kid and you hit the target, and then suddenly the things get animated. Maybe that could be it. You shoot the target, and then suddenly he's like, "What's up?" You know, and he's talking about Walmart or something. I don't know. It's horrible.
Did you know that in Walmart in 1996, we used to put fingers in our chicken wings?
They did not do that. That's not true. But there was. But around 96, Walmart did have the Kathy Lee line of clothing. This is back when their clothing smelled like sweatshops. You don't remember this. And they have since dramatically changed all of this. But they went to everything made in America, and then they kind of realized they couldn't do that. So a lot of it's not made in America anymore. But there was a distinct scent to Walmart clothing in the 90s, and you didn't really want to buy it. Like, you'd go there, it's like, this smells weird. The clothing section in Walmart smelled weird. And then it was traced back, and then Kathy Lee had her name on it, and Kathy Lee was a famous personality at the time. And it was like, oh my gosh, it's all made in sweatshops. It's like, yeah, but in reality, pretty much all the clothes that we wear is made in sweatshops. Seriously, it really is, kids. But it was a big deal at the time. They were exposing this like on 2020 or something. And it's like, well, look at the label on your clothing and look at the country it's made in. I can almost guarantee it's made in a sweatshop. It's not a good thing. But let's just call reality what reality is. And that's where a lot of modern day cheap clothing comes from.
Sweatshops. Where an old man.
But at least it doesn't.
Sweats on your clothing before you buy
it. No, do you understand what a sweatshop is?
No.
It's a place where children work to make clothing and sweat their brains out in horrible conditions. It's third world stuff. I mean, this is where a lot of your Nikes come from. This is where basically all of your clothes come from.
Stop buying Nikes.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the reality of it is, it's almost impossible if you're living as a citizen of the United States to not buy that unless you're insanely wealthy and can afford, I guess, custom made clothing. Because almost anywhere you go, even high-end department stores, all that, it's all made in third world countries. It's all made in sweatshops. And we just kind of pretend it doesn't happen. It's messed up. But it is reality of how things work. And I'm not saying it's good or okay by any means. But it's reality. It is what it is. And I don't know that we're going to change that anytime soon. There's so many things that need to be changed, and that certainly is one of them, too. But the list is just getting longer and longer and longer and longer. But there you go. Haunted Walmart headquarters.
Sweatshops.
Interesting. I'd like to... never been in that building. I never have. I've been close to that building, but never actually been inside. Ghosts of Walmart. Anyway, that's gonna it's gonna wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We could not do this without you. Please press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/realghoststories. Or sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Help keep us on the air. Without your support, we would not exist. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening for Real Ghost Stories Online.